You know, the darkest hour, everybody has them. We've all had maybe our share. You've had more than your share, you think. Several years ago, there was a television series entitled The Darkest Hour. And I thought, you know, so many times in our own lives, we go through what we call our darkest hour. And sometimes we have great difficulty in knowing how to handle that. But even in our darkest of hours, we should remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 10, and not grow dismal or weary. You know, that song we just sang was written by actually a hymn writer, hymnologist. His name was Thomas Dorsey, and it was during a real deep, dark, dismal moment in his life that he penned the words of that song. You know, generally, we can do that when we have experienced it. A lot of people say, well, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through, when you really don't. I mean, you can kind of sympathize with someone, but it's hard to empathize with them and to feel with them when you have not experienced the things that they have experienced. But Paul writes, my brothers and my sisters, we all have to tell you that when we were in Asia, Paul's on missionary journeys, and the troubles we faced were nearly more than we could handle, one translation says. And the burdens we bore nearly crushed us, and our strength actually dwindled down to nothing. And for a while, we weren't sure whether we would make it through the whole ordeal. We thought we would have to actually serve out our death sentence right then and right there. And as a result, we realized that we could no longer rely on ourselves and that we must trust solely upon God, who possesses the power even to raise the dead. Miraculously, God himself delivered us from the cold hands of death, and we again place our hope in him alone. And we know that he will deliver us. You know, Paul had gone through many crises in his life. This was just one of them. And he is saying that we were at the point of death, and we thought that we were going to give up the ghost right there, that it was almost more than we could bear. But you know what? This great same apostle would write years later that there has been no temptation but such as is common to man, or trial. And if God makes a way of escape for us, we know that we can make it with our Lord God. Most of us don't like those moments, and many of us fear them. You know, a lot of people tonight are fearful of cancer, or they're fearful of heart disease or Alzheimer's, or they're afraid perhaps of death itself, having to depart from this life. But we ought to be a people who understand that on the better side of the River Jordan, figuratively speaking, that we know there is a better dwelling place for those of us who honor God with our life. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are you afraid of? Do you know that in our world today, we know that there are specifically 365, now get that, does that ring a bell? 365 specific fears that people have. And someone said that was one for every day, and I guess it really is in actuality. But what are you afraid of tonight? What are you fearful of most in your life? A lot of times, people don't like to get out of what we traditionally call the comfort zone. And the comfort zone, actually, is a type of mental conditioning that really causes a person to create and operate mental boundaries. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I just want to do what I've always been doing. I don't want to move forward. I don't want to go back. I just want to stay right where I am. Did you know you cannot do that? You can't. You're either growing or you're dying. And the Bible says of those of us who are Christians in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Peter wrote his first epistle to the church in 1 Peter chapter 1, he mentions, beginning at about verse 5 down to about verse 11, the areas where we ought to be growing. And yet some of us are dying instead of growing. And I'll say it again, that if you're not growing in Christ, you are dying on the vine. You are. But again, what are you afraid of? Secondly, very few of us face the darkest hour voluntarily. We don't like it. Jesus gave his life. His darkest hour was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was pouring out his heart unto his God who was in heaven. But he said, Father, hey, I'm willing to do it voluntarily. I'm willing to do your will. Let me follow you. And that he did. But you know what? Most people will not volunteer for a dark and dismal moment. They are ready to quit. They're ready to give up. Life is hard, but it's even harder when you don't want to face it, and it is so true. I have been with numerous families through the years, maybe where someone in the family became terminally ill, and it was really hard for them to face it. And anyway, they ended up dying, and that is a moment, too, that's very difficult for most ministers. To sit at the bedside of a loved one who's getting ready to depart from this life. But I have experienced that. I have gone the gamut of what most preachers through the years have experienced in their life. And I'm thankful unto God that I've had that opportunity. But a lot of people look at life as something that's very difficult to live. It's hard, and they don't want to go through it, and they're ready to quit and give up. But you know what? There are things that we should face. One of them is that everything we judge in others is something within ourselves that we don't want to face. We don't. But then thirdly, this dark, dismal moment can be a symbol of evil's grip over the parts of one's life. Now, it doesn't always have to be that way. You know, the devil brings these things on us, but it is God who reaches out to rescue us, as we were singing this morning, and he is the one who leads us. Take my hand, precious Lord, we were singing. That's the hand that I want when I'm getting ready to leave this world. But fourthly, darkness can be the emotional chasm that claims us when we get bad news. Have you ever been rocking along in your life and all of a sudden someone hits you with bad news? It could be the death of a loved one. It could be you went to the doctor and you got a bad diagnosis and you're really upset and it is a fearful thing for you. We have to remember that God is going to help us through it. He is going to guide us. And when we face him, whether you're having to face betrayal from someone else in life, we know that God is there to lead us and guide us where we need to be. And we experience tears. We shed tears. Nothing wrong with that. Someone said that tears actually helps us bathe the emotions of our heart. And I really believe that is true. And tears are how our hearts speak when our lips cannot describe how much we have been hurt. But you know what? You made it through the crisis. You made it through your darkest hour. And I'm thankful unto God that you did. And I'm thankful that he leads us. And David was right when he said in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He didn't say, I'm going to fear death. He didn't say, I'll fear without being able to walk with others. But he said, yea, though I walk through, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But fifthly, darkness can also be the workshop of God to bring about life out of our most hopeless situations. You know, sometimes when we look at our dismal moments or troubles or our trials or maybe our darkest hour, and we feel like, you know, you don't know how you're going to make it through, you have to remember that God is working in ways that we don't understand. And he is working behind the scenes to bring something good from what the devil brought into your life. And he does. And I'm thankful that God can take it. And in the book of Romans chapter 8 and 28, Paul said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes." And so we have to realize that God is orchestrating something much, much bigger and much, much better than our darkest hour. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? God created our universe out of darkness and chaos. I want you to think about that. And you go back to the book of Genesis and you read about the great creation of God. That's exactly what happened, that God created our universe. When he said, "Let the dry land appear," it was chaotic. Now, scientists would like to tell you that it all happened as a result of the Big Bang, and that was a theory they had. But God tells us precisely what happened. We don't have to guesswork anymore. We just go back to the Bible and find out what God said actually about the earth. And in a time of physical and spiritual and even national darkness, what's going on right now, the horrible war, and even though there's a ceasefire there, I don't know how you can have a ceasefire with people still firing at each other. Does that make sense? I don't understand that. But God the Father birthed God the Son through the miraculous movement of God, the Holy Spirit. And God conceived this blessing in the darkness of the womb. And in a darkness of deep political oppression. And in the darkness of the night, where a star actually heralded Jesus and his birth physically. It was a wonderful thing. The world was chaotic during the days of the birth of Jesus. It was. You go back historically and read about all the sects and how they were so divided, religious sects. It happened. But Jesus, defeated the power of evil and sin as he hung in midday darkness. Remember that? How darkness filled the earth? Odd hour for darkness to fill the earth. But it happened when Jesus was on the cross and abandoned by his friends and by his loved ones. Now, his mother was there all right, Mary and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was there. We have no idea where the other disciples were. They had fled during what might have been, if they were speaking, their darkest hour. You know, we placed all of our hopes upon Jesus, and they had no idea that he was really going to die. They didn't understand the whole concept of Jesus dying on a cross for our sins. But they were abandoned. Jesus was abandoned by many of his friends and berated and mocked by many people of his day and by even jeering crowds. Factually speaking, Earth's saddest day and gladdest day were just 3 days apart. You know, when that all happened, it came down to Jesus dying on the cross, and they buried him in Joseph's tomb. Probably a lot of people thought, well, this imposter is dead, and it's over and done, and we don't have to worry about him anymore. And then on the third day, the news comes from the burial site that Jesus lives, that he lives. And in the darkness of the sealed tomb, the mystery of life was reawakened, and the victory of Jesus over sin and death was now secured. What a wonderful moment. In the darkness of a prison cell, shaken by an earthquake, Paul and Silas were in Philippi. And while they were incarcerated in prison, they were singing praises unto God. I mean, would you be singing praises unto God during your darkest moment? Probably not. If you were, it might be "Ready to Suffer," the old hymn, or "Tempted and Tried." But we know that Paul and Silas sang and praised God, and new life came into that of a jailer who questioned about Christ and was baptized that same night because of his great belief in God. David said in Psalms 139, verse 1 through 12, "Even if I am afraid and think of myself or to myself, there is no doubt that the darkness will swallow me. The light around me will soon be turned into night. You can see in the dark, for it is not dark to your eyes. For you are the night, is just as bright as the day. And darkness are alike, and light are alike, and the same in your eyes, O God." Now, I'm not trying to say everything works out good and you're not going to shed tears and it's going to be a saccharine moment, you know, and everything's going to be okay. I'm just telling you that God will help you get through. The Apostle Paul said a number of things about the darkness that he experienced in life. He was like Job of old when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." The troubles we face were nearly more than we can handle, Paul said. You wouldn't hardly think those words would be falling from the lips of one who taught us to overcome and that we could overcome. But he had learned great lessons through his struggles. "And the burdens that we bore nearly crushed us," he says. It was a terrible moment. But you know what? Had this song been written, at that time, he would have been singing, "How great thou art. How great thou art." Paul says, "My strength dwindled to nothing." Have you ever experienced anything like that? I mean, really, it was just a dropsy. I mean, it was over, you thought. But then you awakened. But where there is no struggle, there is no strength. Paul says we weren't sure we would make it through the whole ordeal. Rightfully, as we said this morning in our Bible class, we reach out and pray to God in times of special need and realize that there was power in the name of the Almighty. He said, "We thought we would have served out our death sentence, that it was going to happen right there and then, but God had better things in mind, and he delivered us from the cold hands of death." And we realized that we would survive. And he said, "I am afraid that the darkness will swallow me." You know, God made, as I said, the earth. He made the moon. He made the sun. And the sun comes up every day. Darkness is not for long. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is your darkest moment will probably turn out to be your greatest light. For the Bible says, "Those who have walked in darkness have seen the great light." You may find yourself in some kind of darkness tonight, enveloped you and your life, known only to you. We don't know about it. You don't want to disclose it. But maybe it's something we could all pray about tonight, that God could give you strength to help you to overcome it and to deal with the complexities of this life. You know, there is a fear, and I've been mentioning this all along, or phobia. Nyctophobia, did you know that is the fear of death? And a lot of people go through it. We must trust in God solely, who possesses the power to raise the dead. Miraculously, he has delivered us through his crucifixion upon the cross. And again, we place our hope in Him alone, and we know that He will deliver us. We sing that old song, but you know what? God can see the light, even when it is dark. Isn't it amazing that when God chooses to describe heaven for us, it is called the city of light? The city of light. For you, the night is just as bright as the day, He says. Does your fear hang like a damp overcoat around your shoulders? And is it really weighing you down this moment, tonight, and seizing your life? It is sapping the life out of you, spiritually speaking. God says, strike a match. You don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore. For He said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have, listen to this, the light of life. Jesus is the great I am. When they ask about his identity, and Pilate did, he just simply said, I am. He said, I was before Abraham. I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. I am the light of the world, Christ said. And while I am in the world, I am the light. John 9 and verse 5. And then in Isaiah 9 and verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Isn't it amazing how often death is referred to as a shadow? On them the light has shined. I hope that all of us have seen the great light. I'm afraid sometimes even those who claim to be Christians, maybe who have been baptized into Christ, maybe have not seen the light. That's why they don't know what it means to really walk in the light. But we appeal to you tonight to walk in the light. And let your dismal moment, your darkest hour, be turned over to the one who is the essence of light. And let him lead you through this life while we stand and while we sing.